How you doing? The show's back. Nick Wilson with you. Afternoon drive. We got Macaroni Baloney Mac Robinson on the board. We got Jake Murren behind the glass there. We got JP on the 20s. Coming up in 2 hours' time, he'll take over the co-host spot. But it's just you and me to start today. How you doing? I had a nice weekend. I really did. I don't know what I did because it rained all weekend. But like, this is how you know, like, by the end of this weekend, my poor wife, Vanessa, was bummed because she's like, all we did was sit inside because we just couldn't do anything because of the weather. And then I was like, all we did this weekend was sit inside and watch football because we couldn't do anything because of the weather. And then the Browns game happened. But no, getting back to it real quick. It was wild how Vanessa came out of this weekend a little bit depressed because of the weather, and I came out refreshed. But happy Monday. How you feeling? How you doing? I'm just going to say this, that today, like every Browns Monday, is going to be like open heart surgery. We're just going to rip the cavity apart here. We're going to look at all the ins and outs, as Ken would say, the rods and cones and whatnot. And we're going to get to the bottom of the Browns' latest inexplicable loss, this one to the Las Vegas Raiders. And right now, 216-474-0092. If you want to call in and vent today, well, this is another one of those days. If you want to call in and call for somebody's job, I might not agree with you, but I'm not going to shut you down. And what frustrates me about this is every time we come out and say, all right, why did they lose this game? Every time we can put it on something different, right? Well, in this game, it was not enough big penalties. The one biggest penalty, or the not enough big plays, rather. The biggest play that you did have was called back because of a bogus holding call. And then the defense apparently can't tackle, can't communicate. Really can't do anything consistently to the way they did last year. So if you go back 2 weeks ago, all right, well, Deshaun on this play or this on this play, or we're not a matchup based defense. So we don't put Malik Nabers on Denzel Ward and vice versa. We don't do that because MJ Emerson's got us. Then week one, well, it was all on Deshaun. So the reality is, you can paint me a pretty, pretty picture off each one of the Browns' losses this year, and each one of them's going to be hued in a different light because there isn't any consistent through line other than they're just not playing well enough, except for the thing that bugs me. Like, I almost feel like I could have played, as we played the montage of suck or the montage of dumb that you heard coming out of Berea. And we warned you guys, like, this is not what we're supposed to be focusing on heading into a game. And as far as we know it, the Las Vegas Raiders are a professional ball club. But you know what? We're just going to delude ourselves into thinking that the Browns are just going to bitch during the week, and then they're going to figure it out on Sunday. And by the way, that final call, courtesy of Browns Radio Network, can't forget our niceties here. And the thing is, by Friday, I deluded myself again. I thought to myself, well, things like effort and leadership and team effort and focus, these clearly are things that can be cleared up going on the fourth game of the regular season. I thought to myself, clearly, this team is too talented to play this goofy, this dumb, this thoughtless 3 out of the first 4 games of the season. And I was wrong. So Friday's show will be the last time I pick the Browns to win a game until the Browns show up and play like a team that wants to win a game. Because what frustrated me again, and this is where we can just play last Monday's show, is that while there are, all right, maybe you put a little more culpability on the defense this week. Maybe you put it more on tackling and focus and communication with the defense than you do the big drop, the big penalties. All right, and maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe that's a total team loss, and then week one's all under Sean, right? As we just start to hand out the blame. Maybe Kevin gets a little fairy dust of crappy decision-making and poor coaching on top of that. But what frustrates me about it is we are talking about the same crap. And, you know, I'm watching the game in the fourth quarter, and you get Rodney McLeod's big fumble return for a touchdown. And Ness is sitting with me there on the couch. Why aren't you hooping and hollering? And I'm like, I just want to see how this goes. Because it's I'm right in between being super fan and getting a pumpkin and putting it on my head like our buddy Pumpkinhead, and being the other Quaid from Major League Two. On any given day, that's where the Browns have me. It's as if I'm becoming bipolar because of my Browns fandom, because I am 1 second, here we go, Brownies, and the next second, you know they're going to lose. So I didn't react when the Rodney McLeod thing happened. And then even when Amari caught the touchdown, right? Huge, beautiful, I mean, wide open spaces like the Dixie Chicks used to sing about, and Deshaun just drops it into a bucket. I didn't cheer. And Vanessa couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, because they haven't earned it. Like, this has become like an abusive relationship where, quite frankly, I don't know how they're going to screw it up on any given day. And somehow, it's all going to be my fault. And so there were warning signs last week. And even if it was, like, listen, I'm not trying to hammer Amari for his playful jostling with the media. But you spent last week talking about that. You spent last week talking about, well, you know, they're not in the film room, so they don't know where it's going to go. A losing proposition. You got Grant Delpit sounding like the most football player of all the football players. One of the youngest guys in the locker room sounding like the only bit of leadership, with Grant Delpit saying, no, we got to play like this is a must win. And then he might have been one of 10 guys that did. Because we're not talking, and I'm going to go Iverson, we're not talking about, the Raiders just out-talented you. No, they out-identified you. They were tough and physical on both sides of the ball, and you weren't. Well, did they out-scheme you? No, did you watch that crap? The Raiders, much like the Giants a week before, did everything they could to give the game away. And I'm out here wondering, did Bill Callahan sap the talent and intelligence out of Kevin Stefanski to, like, the Monstars of old? Is that what happened? Because the head coach I've seen through four games can't decide whether he's aggressive or whether he's completely conservative. And by the way, not for nothing, when you need points and you've got a perfect opportunity, even if it doesn't go right, to attempt a 58-yard field goal, which Dustin Hopkins has made in an NFL game, and you need every point, you don't punt the ball. You just don't. Now, did the same guy, what was it, 2 weeks ago against Jacksonville on the 4th-and-1, did the pitch out to Jerome Ford, one of the most aggressive calls of the year? But a week ago, we got 3rd-and-1 Jameis Winston, telegraphed. And then we've got 4th-and-1 Deshaun Watson RPO, telegraphed. I'm annoyed. All right? Like, I don't know. I know. That's the problem. Is that we spent all offseason, because we do this after every winning season, and we start trying to count culture wins. Well, the Browns have good culture because they've won now. And we saw that culture play out, right? You juggled 5 quarterbacks, right? You juggled 5 quarterbacks and a lot of drama and found yourself into the playoffs last year with 11 wins in a loaded AFC. Now, was the culture BS last year? Or, as I've thought this whole time, is culture not a one-year thing? Culture is proven year in, year out. And even if you have explosive temper tantrums like George Pickens does in Pittsburgh, even if you have explosive, dramatic, sideline, demonstrative, or in the case of Kenny Pickett, refusing to be the backup, allegedly, well, somehow Mike Tomlin gets the culture where he needs to every single year. And yes, that culture does lose in the first round of the playoffs, or doesn't make the playoffs, but they still get above 500 year after year after year. And now I'm sitting here with 1 day to go into October wondering, where did that culture go? Did Callahan take it? Did AVP take it? Because what the hell happened to have this team? It's the same team. This is what you know what pisses me off? All yesterday. Oh, they're not that good. No, they're not talented. Guys, it's the same team. It's the same freaking team. A couple different coaches. It's 45 of the same 53 dudes that you walked into the playoffs last year. And yes, you got embarrassed in Houston. Yes, you got exposed in the playoffs. But let's bring it back. This was supposed to be a good team. There's supposed to be talent on this team. They're not losing because they're not talented. They're losing because they don't collectively know how to come together and win. Can I spell it out any more clearly? It's leadership. Kevin Stefanski, Bub, it's you. You need to coach better? No bleep you need to coach better. Every guy with a C on their chest, it's about you. Well, you know, that's not how Miles leads. That's not how Nick Chubb leads. Well, okay, find somebody who leads the way you need to lead to win some games. Because my problem is not that the Browns are 1-3. My problem is that they could be 3-1 if anybody at any point stood up and said, it's time to win this freaking game the last 2 weeks. And instead, I'm sure there's going to be more of, wow, we should put the camera on you guys. Oh, no, you see, you guys aren't in the meeting room, so you don't know that that is or isn't a holding call. Or you don't know that you should or shouldn't punt when you've got a chance at a 58-yard field goal and a kicker who's been near automatic until apparently he got the yips yesterday on the extra point. See, that's on us. We don't know. The whole plan was to not take the field goal. The whole plan was to miss the extra point. Right? The whole plan was to drop every other ball. The whole plan was to have dumbass penalties once and again. As a matter of fact, at one point in the game, the Browns had two penalties for 20 yards. You know what I thought? Hey, they might have finally figured out this whole penalty thing. The next play, it was the roughing the passer call. The next play. It's as if someone rung a bell and said, hey, Nick Wilson and Wadsworth thought to himself that we hadn't made any dumbass penalties in 5 minutes. Let's go ahead and put that counter back to zero. I shouldn't care. You shouldn't care. But see, I think that's the problem. You have a city of people who care. You have a city of people who, no matter if the Browns are good or bad, we root for them. No matter if the Browns win one game or 11 games, we root for them. No matter whether it's the nicest team in the world or a bunch of convicts, we root for them. It doesn't matter. And time again, when we think, just when we think that finally we've cracked the code, finally we've gotten over the hump, we get shown that the organization has plenty more leadership and plenty more room to go and room to grow to be where we want them to be. Listen, I'm not going to do the thing today where I say on air, and it's going to be a conversation, I'm not going to say the season's over. I'm just not. There's 13 games to go. And quite frankly, if it gets worse from here, it's going to get worse from here. If it gets better from here, cool. But I'll tell you one thing. That was not about Deshaun Watson yesterday. It wasn't. And if you think it was about Deshaun yesterday, just admit it to yourself. Make it easier on both of us. You hate Deshaun. That's fine. Deshaun didn't play perfect. He didn't play horrible. He played somewhere in the middle. He played well enough to win, which is all any one of us should care about. Did Deshaun play well enough to win? The answer is yes. I say that's probably the second game in a row, third game in a row he's done that. You might say that's the first time he's done that. Maybe you disagree. But to say that yesterday was about Deshaun, yesterday was about Deshaun in any way, form, or fashion other than leadership, is to let everybody else off the hook. And that is what this organization has been doing for a little too long for my liking. Well, you know, in 2021, we didn't match up that playoff series win, so it's Baker's fault. Run his ass out of town. Well, he's immature. Well, he's this, he's that, the other. All right, you fixed his side of the street, and then you went out the very next year, and you won 8 games. Ah, well, no, now it's Joe Woods's. Nah, it's his fault. Okay, you fired Joe Woods, you bring in Jim Schwartz, you got 11 wins, and then you get turned around and get smacked in the face in the playoffs. Okay, well, what did you learn? Well, we're going to bring everybody back because we got to go ahead. And we got to keep this culture going. And then the 1-3 start. And the 1-3 start during the easiest stretch of the season. Remember, they took practices from several of you who would have gone to see them in Berea. So you could go down to West by God, West Virginia. And so, because that was the key to last year. I guess it's like magic. It wore off. I guess maybe it wasn't the Greenbrier even at all. But hey, at least we got to go ahead and strip a few more practices away from hardworking fans who would have got to see it, right? Because they're apparently the distraction. If it sounds like I'm lashing out, it's because I am. Because I just would like to like my team. I would just like to want to root for my team. Instead of getting to a point 4 games into the freaking season where I'm like, let's let it play out. That's a really cool play by Rodney McLeod. Okay, let's see what next. That's a really great pass by Deshaun over the top. Let's see it play out, though. And then it played out exactly as it should, with an inferior team beating you twice in a row. I'll give the Dallas might be better than you. I mean, what's their record? They've got 1 win since you beat them. And it was against the Giants, who beat you on Thursday Night Football. They're not very good. Well, they won 11 games last year. It's all Deshaun Watson. He didn't hold. In fairness, that was a BS call. He didn't not tackle. He didn't drop his own passes. 216-474-0092. It's the same thing, guys. His leadership is not where it needs to be. I don't know. And by the way, some of that is on Deshaun because he's got the C on his chest. But this is as stupid of a start to the season as you could possibly have for the Cleveland Browns, with 2 straight weeks, 2 teams trying to give you the game. And each time the Browns said, we'll see next week. No, thank you. Return to sender. Nathan Zagura joins us coming up at 3. We're going to have Kevin Stefanski's, I'm surely, highly, highly informed press conference coming up at 4. Lot of details with old Kevy Kev. JP joins the show at 4, the 5 at 5 at 5. Daryl Ryder joins us at 6, around the NFL, coming up at 6:20. I'm not annoyed at you, all right? We're in the safe space together, the trust tree with the nest. So we're going to get started. What are you most disappointed in? I'm most disappointed in a team who I thought the culture was going to be the backbone of a team, and now 3 of the 4 games, I've watched them kind of no-show and just not seem like they care that much. As a fan who cares, that pisses me off. More to come. Deshaun did not play his best game ever, but Deshaun played well enough to win, and his teammates let him down. I don't believe that I could say that through the first 3 games enough, right? Well, one, they won the second game, and I thought Deshaun played fine, but I don't think he played maybe the best game. And then, I'll be honest with you, I think the last 3 games are a lot of the same. The difference is, in this one, if you add the Amari Cooper touchdown, Deshaun would have passed for, I think it was 260 yards, 2 touchdowns. So even with the interception, as bad as that was, that was on Amari Cooper too. Even with the interception, if you're bitching about Deshaun this morning, I think you can just admit to yourself you don't like him. 216-474-0092. As we get started on today's show, Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene tackles the sports scene with a different style every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10:15. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. We are going to get to you guys in just a moment here, because today is not just about me screaming into a microphone about how annoyed, frustrated, disappointed I am, but to one thing that I think it was our good friend Brett who said, how is coaching going to fix a decimated O-line and a quarterback who's a shell of himself? Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. If you think that this was about the quarterback, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. Again, Deshaun left some plays out on the field. And I know all the internet sleuths out there that are going to pause that fourth down play that he got bumped up by Charles, don't call me Edward Snowden. And, they were open, maybe. Guys, I don't know if you know Deshaun. Deshaun has always been a guy that held onto the ball too long. Deshaun's always been a guy that tries to make plays or extend plays with his legs, and then occasionally does. I mean, I was going to say all the time does, but that's, nobody does it all the time. Even Mahomes makes mistakes. But This is who Deshaun is. So if you look at that and you don't put that on the O-line, I don't know, like, every quarterback has to have a set amount of time to throw, and he was rolling out to his non-throw shoulder side simply because he didn't have time to throw in the pocket. So he had to bail on that play beforehand. And we keep coming down to the final play that Deshaun doesn't make is more important than the plays he does make. He made one of his best throws to the season to Amari. He made multiple plays late in that game to get you going that were either wiped out by a penalty or bad blocking or a mistake by the player, a drop. So I'm not here to tell you he's blameless, because I do think we're seeing a flaw in the Death Star here with the Browns, that their leadership is not what we want it to be. Their culture, and I say that because I don't think their culture is where they want to be. If they had good culture, the loss to the Giants would have been enough. If they had good culture, as a matter of fact, the embarrassing loss on primetime television with Tom Brady making his much, much, much anticipated debut would have been enough. It's not. But this sure as hell isn't about injuries. Oh, Miles is banged up. He's still playing. Well, Nick Chubb's a running back, guys. Love running backs. Love Nick Chubb. He's the best of them. But if we're saying the running back is the reason why you're not winning, you're probably not a good team. And by the way, getting back to how this is a coaching issue, the coach decided DeJuan Jones, who's clearly not healthy, was going to be out there again this week. The coach decided James Hudson, who hasn't been very good, if you're not going to get rid of one guy who's struggling through injury, maybe get rid of a guy who's not playing that well. Well, we started James Hudson for the fourth straight time. So the coach continues to put out the same cast and crew and then hope for different results. Well, you know what? This offensive line sure does suck, but maybe with another week, they'll suck 5% less. 216-474-0092. This isn't about injuries, guys. Every team in the NFL deals with injuries. Stop making excuses because you don't want to have to evaluate or reevaluate who Kevin Stefanski is. I was really going after like one or two of you there, so, you know. Not trying to brace everybody today, just the Browns. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Coach D in Maple Heights. Welcome to the show, Coach D.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Losing my mind a little bit, but thank you for joining us, buddy. What you got?
Well, I want to talk about Coach Stefanski and the inconsistency that we've seen over his term with the Cleveland Browns. One of the things that I'll point out in my personal opinion is that I've noticed that they consistently are a very undisciplined team. This is something that's gone on since he's been there, whether we've been winning or losing. Penalties have deflated that offense over the last 4 years. It's something that I'd like to see change. I want to know if you guys feel the same way. And in addition to that, what do you think about the fact that they're just not physical up front right now? For whatever reason, it just doesn't feel like they're competitive up front. Like, you know, they're getting pushed around a little bit. They should want to block. If they give Deshaun Watson maybe a half more second, a lot of those plays that he's been missing out on are completions. And I think we have a whole different view of where Deshaun Watson is if he has another half a second to throw the ball. So I'll hang up, and I just want to hear you guys' comments on that.
Coach, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much there. 216-474-0092 if you'd like to join in. I really would, and I know we can't do this because we don't have access to parallel universes. I would love to know how different the conversation is today if that play for Amari isn't negated. Because let's be real honest with you. The Raiders offense had certainly done enough to win yesterday. I think if you put up those 7 points and you're ahead by three, I don't, even with Carlson, who's a hell of a kicker, I think you win that game. And so it is interesting to me to see how much is, but like today, I one of the things I thought about is how much weight should we put into the way they played in the second half? Because Rodney McLeod, who gets credit for the fumble? I keep thinking Winston Reed, because he was responsible for the fumble that got called back against Jacksonville. But so you have somebody generate the fumble. Rodney picks it up, scoops and scores, and goes in the end zone. And then it was Amari. And there were a couple other good plays, but by and large, there still aren't enough winning plays. Like, I don't know that had even they won that game, we should give them all that much credit. We would have, because you'd be 2-2, and all of a sudden you'd feel a little bit better. Well, they're not playing well, but that's okay, because as long as they're winning, we do that dance, right? They didn't. Yep, Deshaun made every play that he possibly could. Some were dropped, some were called back. And by the way, this is not to let Deshaun off the hook. Deshaun needs to make plays more consistently. You and I are in 100% agreement. But Deshaun is not within the top three of why the Browns lost. And what I did see, one, kudos to Deshaun for lighting up DeJuan Jones like a Christmas tree off the third down play where Deshaun literally didn't have enough time to get the play off, right, and had to rush the throw over the top into the end zone, which was an incompletion. And then kudos to Deshaun for coming back on the bench and loving the guy up a little bit and saying, listen, man, it's just that I believe in you. Kudos to those two things. That was more leadership and passion than I saw from Kevin. Oh, well, you know, got to coach better, got to do better. And then, I almost forgot the end then. No end then. 216-474-0092. With Deshaun threw for 176 yards. With that touchdown, it would have been, and by the way, I think I said 260. It's right around 245, 250. We take those numbers all day long. But instead, we're talking about another Browns loss without Max Crosby, without Devontae Adams. And they are dangerously close because I am of the, it's 4 weeks here. I am, that is where I am. They are dangerously close to falling into the irrelevant zone. Not just in the NFL, in this town. Guardians got a playoff series coming up in a couple days here. Cavs are back to it. Like, this was the most disengaged I've ever seen Browns fans going to the season. And I don't know what's going to keep you guys around. I don't know if there's anything that should keep you around. Because you got a team that's not playing hard enough. That's the requisite, right? You play hard, I'll follow you to 1-16. You play hard, and again, I'm not saying guys aren't trying. I'm saying they don't know how to play together. That's actually worse for a team that is the same team from last year than anything else. Deshaun was not absolved completely from blame, but his teammates let him down yesterday because that was also the dude getting his ass beat left and right, getting up and going on to the next play. 216-474-0092. What are you most disappointed with the Browns 1-3 start? More from you guys and the biggest boo-boo from Kevin Stefanski yesterday. Next on 92.3 The Fan. Here is the thing that did bug me. For two of the last 3 weeks, you've been spotted a lead in a game. Which, usually, when this team has gotten a lead, and when I say usually, I mean last year, you don't really see them fall apart. They don't always put their throat on the neck of the other team. They don't always, you know, finish off that team when they should, and much like the Jacksonville game. But usually you don't see them waste a lead. And they really wasted a lead. I mean, the 10-0 lead. But honestly, probably my biggest frustration yesterday was continuing to wonder what Kevin Stefanski's identity is as a coach. Because Kevin has said, you know, that in terms of what team identity you have, that can change. And I think that's a nuanced point. It's a little tough for, I think, people to understand what he means, but I kind of understand it. But then again, when you lose, that is the first thing people look at. Who are you? What do you do well? What do you like to do? How do you win games? But I can at least give him a pass for that. I can't give him a pass for at the end of the first half with a 58-yard field goal attempt right there. Kevin's decision to punt the ball. I can't. You needed points. You needed points then. And being able to throw with Vegas getting the ball back after halftime, you just needed something. And so the idea of, well, you know, we didn't maybe feel confident. I don't believe that. I don't believe that you didn't feel confident in Dustin Hopkins, who, up until extra points yesterday, had pretty much been spot on. I know he missed a kick. What was that, last week? Guys, still a pretty damn good kicker. But Kevin Stefanski gave his thought process on why they punted near the end of the first half. I'll let you guys be the judge of if this passes the muster or not.
Late in the first half, why the punt over 57-yard field?
Yeah, we just felt confident in that moment, just keeping them pinned deep. You know, obviously, Dustin's a guy that we certainly have confidence in, but we want to always be smart there, too.
You sure about that? You sure about that? And listen, of the two things, one, Vegas' offense was pretty much either the kid from CVCA, who basically was getting the ball and making plays from there. It's not like they were finding him 40 yards down the field, or it was running the ball. So with that limited of time left, it's not as if, even if Dustin Hopkins misses the kick, it's not like you're going to give them so much time. Like, they would have had to do something that they struggled with all day, which is generating their own kind of offense off passing. They weren't doing that. So the idea that from your own, what is that, 35? I don't remember anymore. The idea that you couldn't take or you couldn't risk that 58-yard field goal, that's something that aggressive Kevin Stefanski does. And getting back to the idea of identity, I don't know what Kevin's coaching identity is. Was it the Gary Kubiak offense? Is that what it was? Because that's a system, that's not an identity. That is formations you like, that's not an identity. My favorite Kevin Stefanski is aggressive Kevin Stefanski. And then in a moment where I think we all can understand the importance of that opportunity early in that situation to get points on the board, I would have thought that's where he showed up. You could have taken the 13-10 lead into halftime. Worst case scenario, you're giving that team the ball back at I think it was the 40.
It was the 40, yeah.
So I don't get that. And I think of all the mistakes Kevin made yesterday, I think that's the most glaring one. And players are creatures of habit. We know this, right? In baseball, bullpen relievers love to know when they're going to be used because it allows them to set in their routine. Well, in football, the number one thing a player has to be able to know is, who are you as a coach? Are you a no-risk-it, no-biscuit guy? Are you a proponent of Marty Ball, where it's three straight rushes and a punt? Like, who are you? And I don't think the Browns know what to fall back on. I don't think they know who to fall back on. And I don't think anyone knows, when the you-know-what hits the fan, who's going to stand up and say, we got to do better. Because through 4 weeks, it hadn't happened. I mean, we got the backup quarterback giving up the pregame speeches. We got the backup quarterback playing peacemaker between the starting quarterback and the right tackle. That guy seems to lead something. I don't know if it's actually working. Where are the Browns' leaders? Because Kevin's supposed to be one, and then he makes decisions like he did yesterday, which sure seems like he's coaching scared. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Jeffrey. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
You might not want to hear what I'm going to say, but I think that Deshaun's accuracy with the football, throwing the football, is starting to be a problem. These guys are waiting for Deshaun to overthrow them, underthrow them, but Deshaun putting it right on the numbers. His accuracy is a problem.
Just now?
It's a good problem to have.
Just today?
Go Browns.
All right. I was trying to have a conversation there, Jeffrey. Good stuff. All right. It's wild that you think the accuracy is the problem in this game and not the three. Like, I don't know where we're getting to the just starting the accuracy problems. I don't think it's like an anti-Deshaun thing to say that his accuracy, his touch, has been incredibly inconsistent. Looking back to the Giants game, could tell nothing about where the ball was going in the first half. That's not on him. He couldn't complete his drop. Then you go to the third quarter against the Giants. He was all over the place. And then the fourth quarter, he had some really nice tight spiral passes into tight windows, like the Cedric Tillman fourth and five play that said dropped. So I agree. Like, I do think that Deshaun's accuracy is something you have to overcome. But if you look at it, it's not like, oh, well, this play's inaccurate. And then this play, it is, he has like three or four accurate passes, and then the fourth one will be behind Jerry Jeudy. And in fairness, Jerry wasn't able to catch that one. Or he'll have, you know, two or three bad passes and then string off 10 in a row. Guys, I hate to tell you that. That's probably about the shoulder. That's not that Deshaun has somehow magically lost it, or that Deshaun, all the other things we say about Deshaun, it's because of the latest lawsuit. No, guys, it's a guy coming off a shoulder injury. So if we want to talk about decision-making, I think that's fair game. Accuracy, yeah, guys, I think that's probably, the consistency thing's probably not where it's going to be. Maybe till the end of this year, maybe till November, I don't know. That's not an excuse, I think it's just a reality. Let's go with Matt Nacar. Matt Nacar, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Oh, it's another glorious Monday. What you got?
All right, so I don't know if I'm going to talk conspiracy theorist on this, but you remember going back to the offseason, I think it was about late February, early March, when Callahan and AVP left. There was a Albert Breer report about ownership and Dee Podesta frustrated with Watson's progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just the fact that, you know, the offense was able to look, you know, competent to really good with guys like, you know, Walker, Flacco, DTR, pretty much, you know, guys coming out in street clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wonder if Stefanski's being hung out to dry. It's like you kneecapped him of all his resources, like, you know, Callahan, AVP, you know, and then the team's almost like they're so deep into Watson, and they have more of a financial investment in Watson that they're willing to throw Stefanski under the bus and make it look like his fault that all this mess is going on. Because, like, I feel like you don't just all of a sudden forget how to, you know, coach a quarterback. I mean, look at all the guys that he's turned into decent quarterbacks, and you're all of a sudden saying that Watson's going to be this one guy that he can't get something out of. I think there's something in the water here, and I almost wonder if last year was kind of Stefanski thumbing his nose at the organization, and Haslam and Dee Podesta are kind of behind the scenes being like, well, we'll see about that. We'll take away all your resources. We'll basically kneecap you here, and then when the season falls apart, it'll be your fault. It won't be Deshaun Watson's fault because we invested more money in him.
Matt, appreciate the call, buddy. Be good, okay? So I think it's much more likely that it's simpler that those other guys just happen to fit the West Coast better than Deshaun does. And by the way, we can no longer say that Baker had his best season in Kevin's offense. No, the last 2 years were much better than what Baker did here. Jacoby, his ceiling here was his ceiling in Indianapolis. So even Joe Flacco still looking good in Indianapolis. So how much credit is really due to Kevin? Because if you can only coach guys that fit your offense, you're probably not much of a coach. Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst, next on 92.3 The Fan.